welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
And good morning. Welcome. We're going to go ahead and look at a few passages of Scripture this morning in the Word of God, different places in Scripture, but I think as we look at them, we'll see a common theme start to emerge here. So we're going to look at Romans, 1 Peter, and then Romans again. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Think about that. Take delight in honoring each other. Honor all people. This is 1 Peter. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Then finally, back to Romans again, 13, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor is due. And so, of course, as we're looking at these three scriptures, we can see the common denominator in these scriptures is honor. They all speak of honoring, honoring God, honoring people, but we see that we do have a scriptural command, admonition, to honor. And as we look at the word honor itself, it simply means to regard with great respect, fulfill an obligation, or pay tribute. So we are called as believers to, on purpose, show honor to our brethren and to the Lord, to the king, people in authority. But we see that we have a role of honor in this world. And of course, on this day, Memorial Day, I've just felt in my heart that this is the direction that the Lord wanted us to go today, to just really to take a look at that. You know, in World War I, they started a tradition where they would have a service flag and you would post it in your window, and for everyone who was in your family serving, there would be a blue star on that service flag. And if somebody in your family was lost, they died in the line of duty, there would be a gold star that would be sewn over that blue star. And so we know those folks today as gold star families, people who've lost somebody in the line of duty. But what is that gold star? It's a tangible way of honor, of representing sacrifice. And we are called in the Word of God to stop and recognize, to pay tribute, to sacrifice that people make. And we see that we bring honor both to men, to our brethren, and to God as well. So we're looking this morning, simply calling the message, honor to whom honor is due. And we're going to take a look at what does that mean as us believers? What does it mean to really give honor, to pay tribute, to remember things? And so as we're looking at this, we're going to really be looking at those twofold ways that we give honor, to honor God and to honor people. And so as we start out this morning, we're going to start out with honoring God. We start out with honoring God. We are here because of what he did for us. And as we look at what he did for us, we're just going to start with something Jesus said, which I think is the verse that represents this day so well. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And of course, we think of the cross, we think of what Jesus did for us, and we've preached on the cross from so many different directions that are wonderfully, powerfully true. You can think of it as the great exchange where, you know, the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. In exchange, he gave us that gift of righteousness. Just a powerful illustration of the love of God. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. There's so many different ways to look at the cross and analyze the profound love of God. And Jesus simply calls it an act of friendship, a care, just a personal love that he has for us. I think that's wonderfully put. And on this day, we just think about no greater love then one has to lay down his life for his friends. And this is why I just want to say it's important too, that we're always remember to be thankful for people who have served. People who are still alive, but who've served this nation. Because when you've served this nation, you served under the reality that you could give your life, that you could not be here the next day. You served, you went willingly. I don't know what that's like. My dad served in the Navy in the 50s. And I just remember growing up with a great appreciation and respect and honor for the military and for people who serve, because I saw it came from him. He trained me in that. And I've always appreciated that. People who every day would be willing to lay down their life, no matter what that order is, to be able to go. And whether they may still be alive, but in their heart, they honored you. They honored this nation. And that's why it is important to be able to honor them and to say thank you, and we do appreciate the service. And so many of us who say that don't even know what it's like to be in their shoes. We're kind of saying it by faith. But to be able to be there in those quarters, in that training, in those situations, but man, it is right to pay tribute and have great respect for people who've put themselves in harm's way for us. But here we see Jesus. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And we know what Jesus went through before he went to the cross. He went through a tremendous punishment. He went through a tremendous persecution. But I love, as we're thinking about this, as we're thinking about honoring God, to remember even big picture the amazing love of God and what Jesus did for us. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. It is so important when it comes to honoring and honoring God to remember where we've come from. You know, we can come to church and we can worship the Lord and we can be thrilled and excited the fact that we're children of God, but we got to remember we've not always been children of God. I don't care what family you were born into. You were born into a sinful condition. And no matter who you are, individually, you had to come to the realization that there is an instinctive nature of sin, and you need something. Again, I don't care what family you're born into. Mom and dad can't fix this. The best people, you need God. And at some point in your life, you realized, I need God. I need him. And when you look at some of the ways the scripture describes us in our spirit, and I'm talking about our spirit being, the Bible says that we were by nature children of wrath. But something happened when we received Christ. He said, for as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become. He didn't say he gave them the right to join a church. He said he gave them the right to become children of God. Born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Something happened when we received Jesus. We got what Jesus called born again. Our spirit was changed from something dead and out of fellowship with God to a child of God. The spirit who is in fellowship with God. I mean, born again. We looked at it last week. He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Sounds like a contradiction. How can you perfect forever somebody who's being sanctified? You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're righteous in him. And yet you're still being sanctified. Those who are being sanctified. We're still growing up spiritually. We can look at our lives and see, I got this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. Yeah, that's the sanctification process. We're all going through it. But he's perfected forever. When you became a new creation, you were created in righteousness and true holiness. And the scripture says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on that new man. He was created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. You're brand new in Christ. Something new happened. And so you're called to this life of seeing, knowing, and realizing that you're a new creation. I am a new creation. I've been given the gift of righteousness. Yes, I'm growing up spiritually. Like we said, I can be more godly next year than I am this year. I can be more sanctified next year than I am this year. But I can't be more righteous next year than I am this year. I will never be more righteous than I am right now. Whether you're a newborn babe in Christ or whether you've been walking with him for 50 years, your righteousness is the same. It's a gift of God that you walk in. What do? We're remembering where we've come from. We remember where we've come from. The Bible says that we were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So how do we do that in a tangible way? How do we honor and remember this whole thing? It's something we call communion. It's where we'll take a cup and the element of juice and bread, and we'll hold it up and we'll declare something. Very much the way we'd pledge allegiance to a flag, some tangible, physical thing. Like Dave was saying, that pile of rocks. What are these here for, Grandpa? This is why they're here. Why do we do this? For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. What are we doing in communion? We are stopping and we're remembering where we've come from. And he says, as often as you do it. Different faiths have different frequencies in terms of how often they do it, whether that's could be daily or weekly or monthly. We do it monthly here at Door of Life, the first Sunday of the month. But why do we do that? We do it as a memorial, as a remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he gave his life for us. You know, so many times we can feel frustrated by life, and I'm right there. I can get in self-pity and feel sorry for myself. And I'll tell you, one of the things that helps shake me out is this service right here. Nobody on this planet can say nobody's ever done anything for me. Somebody has done something for you that is greater than anything anybody else could ever do for you. He took your sin on a cross, and he bore the punishment of it so that you don't have to be punished for it. It's not God just looking the other way. No, God, the Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise him in a way that satisfied his justice and reconciled the sins of the world in one person. So I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. In a legal sense, we'd call it double jeopardy. You're not tried for the same crime twice. The punishment was met on Christ, and we go free from the punishment of sin as we receive that forgiveness and we remember. That's where we've come from. We remember that his body was broken for you and that by those stripes you were healed. You remember a covenant that healing is the children's bread, that there's a provision that God has through the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is a blood that is shed. What does that blood do? It cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It's the only thing that we talked about this last week. There's only one thing that can cleanse my conscience. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Bible reading can't cleanse it. My devotion time can't cleanse it. I can do things for God that can help me grow spiritually. I can sow to the Spirit and reap of the Spirit, but I can't sow to the Spirit and reap a cleansed conscience. All I can do is say, Father, I did it, I said it, I'm sorry, forgive me. Why? Because there is no more offering for sin. I can't offer my devotion time as a sacrifice, as a sin offering for a guilty conscience. Can't do it. I can't read my Bible or grow and develop. I can do those and reap things. Hey, I can walk in the Spirit and experience the death of the pull of the flesh and be free. But I can't do anything in exchange for a clear conscience other than go back to this cup again and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I got in here by humbling myself as a child and realizing I was a sinner, and I stay in this walk with God by realizing that my dependence and my righteousness is in a cup. It's in grace. It's in the love of God. And there's no spiritual growth that I can do that can take the place of what only the blood can do. Oh, this blood is precious. I remember it. I regard it with great respect, and I pay tribute. As you're taking communion, remember that. Every time we take communion, it's in a sense Memorial Day. We're remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. We're remembering the fact that he laid down his life for us. And we're appreciating it all over again. We're making ourselves not take our salvation for granted. That's the power of this cup. Even as a Memorial Day, or a Veterans Day, or 4th of July. What are these things? These are landmarks that force us to not take the sacrifice of the people who've laid down their lives for this country for granted. It's important to give honor to whom honor is due. That blesses, and that's the part of it that fulfills an obligation, a scriptural obligation that God gives us. It's right, it's good, it's appropriate. So one way that we honor the Lord is through communion, but here's another powerful way that we honor the Lord as well, too. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and say, wow, that's an amazing Christian. No, that they may see your good works and look up and glorify your Father who is in heaven. A powerful way that we bring honor, that we honor God, is the way we live for him. Living our life. Things that we do that bless people and show love and show kindness, what do we do in that? What is Jesus saying this happened? When people see your good works, it brings glory to the Father in heaven. Do you know there are people who are critical and skeptical and jaded about religion and faith, and they got their stories and their 15 reasons why not ever? And they'll see something. I remember hearing a story about a guy who was in prison, and he found the Lord in prison. And he, you know, through some materials and pamphlets that they would send him to prison. And he got this little pamphlet, you know, on love and walking in love. And he thought, well, okay, I'm going to learn about love and walking in love. And as he was going through that little lesson, it said, you know, he said, as an exercise, find somebody, the hardest person to love, and on purpose love that person. He said, okay. Well, that was easy for him. It was his jailer. He said that jailer, he hated that jailer, and that jailer hated him. Just the person who was over him. And he said, I'm going to purpose to love that man. And he said, you know, as the testimony went on, he loved that jailer, and he won him over. He won his heart, and they became friends. And he actually got promoted in the jail to the infirmary area, where there was an area, I guess, in the prison there where you had inmates that needed medical care and medical help, and he was almost like a type of nurse or whatever that would kind of help or be a support within the prison system there. And he said he met this old guy who was just bitter and angry and hateful. And he said every time he would get near him, he had this stick, and he would just, like his cane, and he would just wrap him. And so he was kind of getting over, and he was just like, oh, Lord, how do I get through? You know, Lord, you love this man. I love this man. And, you know, just show me, you know, so he would just show him kindness, you know, and be great, you know, just kind to him. And he said, finally, he said there was a night, and the guy was in a bad way. He was about to pass. And he was just crying out to God. He said, Lord, he said, help me. Show me what I can do to love this man. The man's over there. He's just praying for him. And he said, all of a sudden, the old man called him over. And he came over, and, you know, he's, of course, is a little nervous because he'd hit him with that stick. But he said, he got right up in his ear, and he whispered in his ear, and he said, whatever you got, it's got to be real. You're the only man I've never been able to break. And he led him to Jesus that night. And he passed away praising the Lord. Love. He is practicing love. Practicing love. Just on purpose loving. There's a love that can break the hardest heart. Love that we have. A love that's not our own. A love that has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. You can't do this with personality. I don't care. I don't care what your personality type is. There's a love of God that we have, that we can walk in, that can shine before men, that they can see. And what does that do? It brings glory to God. It causes people to think, God's got to be real. I don't understand. You get all these jaded calculations, and then you see certain people doing certain things selflessly, and all of a sudden the math doesn't work. And it gets people's attention to look up. It opens a heart for the gospel. These are ways that we honor God. And you're honoring God in ways, and you're getting people's attention in ways that you don't even know right now. They're just looking at your life. You know, the greatest sermon you will ever hear is not a sermon you'll hear on a Sunday morning by a pastor. The greatest sermon you will ever hear, what Paul says, we're living epistles read and known of all men. The greatest sermon you'll ever hear is a life lived for Jesus Christ. And that life will resonate, and you won't forget that life. You won't forget that sermon. Because it's a sermon that impacts people's lives. It's a sermon that impacts and makes God real in this earth in a powerful way. So ways that we honor God. But also, we're called to clearly honor people. That's the other side of it. We honor God, communion. We on purpose remember, give tribute. Remember where we've come from. We honor him with our lives in a way that show him. But also, there's an honoring of people. And this is a powerful thing that you see the Apostle Paul doing. He had a lot of cool greetings and things like that. And to be honest, you know, he'll mention a bunch of names, and we're kind of read over that a little bit fast. But when you slow down and kind of read some of those names and tributes that the Apostle Paul gives in his letters, there's some powerful stuff in there. Here's one of them. He said, give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me, and I'm thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. What is he doing? He's just in the Word of God, acknowledging Priscilla and Aquila for the fact that they risked their lives for the Apostle Paul. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, thank you for your service, Priscilla and Aquila. Thank you for risking your lives for me. Thank you for being willing, you know, to lay down your lives for me. And, you know, we're actually going to be having a service here in Door County, all over Door County, but in Sister Bay, at Little Sister here, we have a service every year, and it's such a beautiful, powerful time of remembering those who've given their lives and honoring the families and people who are in service. And I remember it was about 17, 18 years ago. We were actually in Jacksonport, and I was with Caleb. It was just me and him, and we were hanging around there, and just a bunch of festivities, and that it would have been Saturday. So I guess, you know, 18 years ago, yesterday or whatever that was, Caleb was just an 8-year-old boy, just a little guy. And all of a sudden, we're kind of hearing some gunshots and the bugle play. And then you could hear the national anthem, you know, getting ready to do the national anthem. And you know how it is with that, and a lot of people, there are going to be people who hear that, hear those sounds, and hear those and what that represents. And for some people, it's going to resonate deeply. And as they're singing and so that's kind of what it was. It was kind of some shots, some bugles, and then it was the national anthem. And as I'm looking out, you know, in that crowd, a lot of people were getting it, understanding, respectful. But in that crowd, there's also people that are just kind of whatever, just kind of not even treating it seriously. It's like a joke, and they're kind of like, they're above all this pomp and circumstance and, you know, whatever. And I could tell Caleb was kind of looking at me a little bit. And I looked at him and I said, Caleb, this is important. We need to take this seriously. Because he's kind of looking at, you know, people who are kind of joking around, not really in the moment at all. And I said, we need to honor people. I said, there were men and women who weren't too cool to sacrifice their lives for our freedom. And I'm not going to be too cool to honor the memory of their sacrifice. I told him that. And as I'm looking down at him, I just realized, man, they didn't just sacrifice for me. They sacrificed for my son, for my children, for my grandchildren. Just, again, the growing appreciation that you get through the years of the freedoms that we have in this country and the sacrifice that was made for them is profound. And so I remember I was instructing him, you know, and I was just saying, okay, we put our right hand over our heart. He had a Mountain Dew in his right hand at the time. So, got to put that in your left hand. And but I was training him, right? I'm dad, I'm training him, saying, yes, this is how we do it. But we are on purpose honoring the memory of these people and the precious people that gave their lives. But that is something that has to be trained, of course, too. I mean, again, I was brought up in a home with a dad who was in the military. I was trained. I knew the proper respect. And so it's something that has really resonated with me. And, you know, as we look even this morning at the flag here, this flag was actually a gift that was given to Door of Life anonymously, along with a bunch of other really cool stuff for our nursery and different things like that. And I found out years later who gave it to us. A teenager, a young man, about 18, 19 years old. His name is Luke Sheets. He's just working that summer and wanted to bless. Now, you got to remember, when he gave it to us, it was 2008. We just moved into this church, so he gave it to us as like a housewarming gift for the church. Thought, wow, it's really amazing, and it's really fitting, because Luke Sheets is one of those guys. Let me just put it this way. Luke Sheets was one of these guys. If you knew him, you know what I'm talking about. A sweet young man. It was like he was mature beyond his years, but a young man with a passion and a heart and a love for Jesus. I mean, he'd be there, you know, taking notes in the sermons and just love, you know, just growing in God and wanting to know God better and just kind, gracious, and to me, just as like a friend and just so many people and just doing things like that. And it was actually 13 years ago this month that Luke passed in an airplane crash. While he was bringing ministers, flying ministers, to a youth conference, died in the line of duty, serving the kingdom of God. And, you know, when you think of that and you just think of somebody like Luke and you think of people passing, it's like, oh, my goodness. That one hurt. You miss him. You miss a sweet man. You miss the influence. I just realized it the other day. You know, people that are like that, that shine like that, you don't just miss them. You miss that shine that they had too. There's a certain presence of God they carry in that shine. That it's like, yeah, I mean, I've got the presence of God. I carry it with me, and I can appreciate my personal walk with the Lord. But there's something they carry. They carry that fellowship. You know, the Apostle Paul said, don't just be an example in love. He said, be an example in spirit. There's something that comes from your spirit when it's a real walk with the Lord. And it is right to honor and to remember people who've done things for the kingdom of God, people who have contributed in meaningful ways, people that have blessed and ministered to your life. And so every time I look at that flag, I think of our country. I think of the sacrifice of the men and the women who've laid down their lives. I think of the great things, that freedoms that I enjoy and my children enjoy. But I also think of Luke Sheets. I think of that guy, that man, who laid down his life for the kingdom of God, just living all out for God. And I just want to take a look at another life, who I think of was kind of similar to Luke. Acts chapter 6. So the 12 called a meeting. There was some discussion about offerings and things, how there was a distribution of offerings, and so they needed to clarify some things. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running the food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and full of the Holy and full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. It goes on to list the other 6, but I'm kind of focusing on Stephen right here. And it goes on to say, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. Wow. Leading a food program and performing amazing miracles and signs among the people. But one day, some men from the synagogue of the freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him. They were Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, Cilicia, and the province of Asia. None of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. So they persuaded some men to lie about Stephen, saying, "We heard him blaspheme Moses and even God." This roused the people, the elders, and the teachers of religious law. So they arrested Stephen and brought him before the high council. The lying witnesses said, "This man is always speaking against the holy temple and against the law of Moses. We've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs of Moses handed down to us." At this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen because his face became as bright as an angel's. Talk about shining. Wow. He was full. He was shining in spirit. There was a spirit that was coming from him. He hadn't said a word yet. I think of Psalm 23. "He will anoint you with oil in the presence of your enemies." It's like he's anointed in the presence of his enemies. Hasn't even said a word yet. But you think of a guy like this. None of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. It's like, finally, we get somebody like this. This guy is going to tear it up for the kingdom of God. Nobody can stand it. And his spirit's right. His heart's right. I mean, he's glowing. This guy has got years of going to be doing amazing things for the kingdom of God. It's praise God, Lord, for raising somebody like this up. Stephen. We think of people like this. Like I said, I think of Luke, just that sweet, pure spirit heart going after God. Well, Stephen responds. Really, the whole chapter 7 is a sermon, basically. Stephen's sermon. And what he's doing, he's basically walking them through the whole Old Testament, starting with Abraham, bringing him to present. And at the end of the sermon, he says, "You've resisted the work of the Holy Spirit, and which is why they've rejected Christ." And their response is this: "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats, laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul," who would later be Paul, the great apostle Paul, same guy. "As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' He fell to his knees shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died. Wow. The first martyr of the church. A guy whose spirit was so right that it couldn't be refuted. A person whose countenance was glowing with the glory of God. When I see a person like Stephen, I immediately think Psalm 91. Because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. He will call upon my name. I will honor him. And well, he says, because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. My goodness, if you think anybody checked all the boxes of Psalm 91, it would have been Stephen. And yet, he passed. He did what God called him to do. He shined powerfully in a bright way. And our first martyr of the church was not somebody who'd lived for God for 40 years. It was a young guy, full of the fire of the Holy Spirit. But what do we see here? We're talking about honoring. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. This is the only time you're going to see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Every other reference, he's seated at the right hand of God. Some commentaries. New Living Translation study. Usually Jesus is described as seated in heaven at God's right hand. One possible explanation is that Jesus was welcoming Stephen, the first martyr, to heaven with honor. Stephen had confessed his Lord faithfully on earth. Now his Lord honored his promise to confess his faithful servant in heaven, standing as a witness to defend him. Critical Jameson Fawcett, critical commentary explanation of the Bible. Why standing and not sitting? The posture in which the glorified Savior is elsewhere represented, clearly to express the eager interest with which he watched from the skies the scene in that council chamber and the full tide of his spirit, which was at that moment engaged in pouring into the heart of his heroical witness till it beamed in radiance from his very countenance. You see God honoring. What a powerful illustration. Now, he saw him standing there. In other words, and you obviously, this was a vision. They didn't see it, because in the very next verse, they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They didn't see what Stephen was seeing. Stephen saw it. We call this is called the discerning of spirits, a spiritual gift. It's where you can see into the spirit realm for God to communicate something of importance for edification. Well, he had a gift. He could see beyond what his natural eyes could see, and he saw Jesus. And obviously that encouraged and heartened and blessed and edified Stephen in that moment in a powerful way, to where he was able to say what he said with stones coming at him. Receive my spirit and don't lay this sin against them. Wow, that's a lot like his Lord. Again, this isn't personality types. This is the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That's where this is coming from. Supernatural love. What the scripture calls being an imitator of God as dear children and walk in love. That sweet, unbelievable, powerful Holy Spirit love that was beaming from his face is coming out of his words right there. Another scripture along these lines. This is another commentary. This is the Nelson Study Bible. He said, I see the Son of Man. Gazing at death may be terrifying, but gazing past death into the presence of Jesus waiting for the believer is a hope that dissolves that fear. And that's what Stephen was doing. He wasn't looking at the stones and at death. He was seeing past death, and he was seeing into glory. Now, I had a powerful experience as it relates to Luke that I've shared with you as far as his life. And this is an experience that I had. This was an actual kind of a discerning of spirits where you have a vision where you see something. I've had a handful of these, all right? This is over 42 years. I've had about a half dozen, so maybe once every 7 years. It's not an everyday thing. But every once in a while, God will give you a glimpse and show you some things. I'm going to just go ahead and read it just because I want to make sure I don't miss, because I wrote it down when I had it, you know, fresh in my spirit. So I'm just going to read it to you as it happened. It was a beautiful sunny day as I was sitting on the grass in our backyard and leaning against a brick ledge. I had just finished a phone call with Craig and Deborah Sheets, who are the parents of the hero in this story. Their son Luke had gone home to be with Jesus the day before while transporting a group of friends and ministers to a youth conference. As I sat there contemplating Luke's life and the conversation that I had just had with his parents, I heard something loud and triumphant. I'm not sure if it was the sound of a trumpet or the voice of an angel. All I know is that it was a commanding sound that served as a call to attention. As I looked up and over in the direction of where I heard the sound, there was a large screen-like area of space suspended between the ground of the patio, it was in our backyard, and the roof line of the house that seemed to be peering into heaven itself. I saw Luke standing as if at attention to that triumphant sound I had just heard a few moments earlier. Although I could only see him from the waist up, I could tell he was wearing a brilliant heavenly garment and surrounded by the glory of God. His initial expression was that of peace and awe at the majesty of God. It's a bit more difficult to technically describe the following events because I was so moved by them. Once the call to attention had been established, I heard the words, "A hero's welcome." At that precise moment, Luke's expression changed. There was an honor bestowed upon him that went into him and blessed him in a way that I could clearly see it in his eyes. Luke was moved, deeply touched, as though he was fighting back tears of appreciation for this special honor from God himself. For those of us who knew Luke on earth, it was his quiet look of confidence mixed with an overwhelming sense of gratitude. Somehow I could read all of that in his eyes. I remember thinking in that moment how proud I am of Luke and how happy I was to see him proudly honored. It was healing for me. The next thing I saw was the siding of the house where this momentary channel into heaven had been. It was over. However, my spirit was marked that day with another indelible truth of things that I know for sure. I know the love of Jesus. I know the forgiveness of my sins. I know that someday I will be in heaven with my Lord Jesus Christ and with my heroic friend Luke Sheets, who holds a very special place of honor there. That little mini vision was a little mini vision of honor. It was, I guess, you know, similar to the standing, the honoring. I got a glimpse. I was able to see past the death of that day into heaven to see the other side, to see a glimpse of what Luke had experienced. An honoring. Do you know that all of us are going to stand before the Lord and be rewarded according to deeds done in the body? Did you know that there's going to come a time where the Lord says, "Thank you"? That's a humbling thought, where God is going to honor you for the life that you lived for him. He who honors me, what do you say? I will honor. There was an honoring I saw in that vision, the guy named Luke. And of course, and this is what I saw, the words I heard was a hero's welcome. You know, there are things, there are people that have passed, we don't understand everything on this side. But I know from what I heard, there was a hero's welcome on the other side for Luke. People who lived their lives, who shined for God. And I want to say this, especially as it relates to situations where we have our why God questions. Clearly Luke, why God? Stephen, you know, this could be a good thing for you, God, for Stephen to hang around down here a little bit longer. Signs and wonders? Words that can't be refuted? We need a few good men, right? I mean, I can make a case. And yet, I don't understand everything. The Bible says we know in part. There's coming a time when we're going to know fully, even as we're fully known. But for now, we know in part. And the Lord related to me, I've related many times, is that anxious little child in the grocery cart, you know, that might call out something that they see and embarrass mom, and mom, you know, point at somebody and say something, and mom will say, shh, be quiet, ask a question out loud, and mom will say, you know, honey, just wait now. We'll talk about that when we get home, okay? When we get home, I'll tell you all about that, all right? And so it's amazing how a parent can tell a child, we're going to talk when we get home, and just satisfy the curiosity for just a little bit. And I had that picture. I mean, I just saw this play out in my mind. And the Lord just showed me, you know, that there's some things you know in part. And as we look up from our grocery cart to the Heavenly Father, why is that, Lord? Why? Why did they go? And the Father says, Ed, there's going to be some things in your part that you know that you're going to find out down here in a few weeks, days, maybe years. And there's some things that you're going to know when you get home. Now we know in part, but there's coming a time. But when that which is perfect has come, then we will know, even as we are known. We have a promise that we are going to know. We're in the cart right now looking up, and we might find out some things. But we will definitely find out some things when we get home. There's a satisfaction of heart that we can know. I've asked my son-in-law, Samuel, to minister to us this morning as he's experienced that recently. Him and Kaylee have a wonderful friend, a Stephen-like, Luke-like, shine, tear it up for the kingdom of God. Why God scenario of a precious young man. Chad Weston, same kind of guy, loving the Lord, and passed quickly. And I was so blessed when Luke shared with us the song, because I feel like the words to this song really are similar to what that vision was for me. It was a healing of sorts, to where I was able to rest and know that even though I didn't understand why Luke was taken from us so early, I knew where he was, and I knew he was in a place of honor. And that was healing for me. And so, again, Samuel wrote this precious song, and I won't steal his thunder if you want to share some more things about that, Samuel, as well, too.
So, yeah, this song was just a little bit of my way of processing what had happened and just things that happened that we don't understand. And this is something that I got to share with his family and got to share at the funeral. And I hope it ministers to you guys as well if you've ever gone through something like that. Are the streets really gold? Is it all you dreamed it would be? How do I make sense of all of this pain? Are you sitting at his feet, pouring out your love on him? Though my heart is broken, I know you're finally home. Until we meet again, I will remember how you lived. Prayed as the sun went up and as the sun went down, and loved with all your heart. I can't comprehend it, but for now I'll miss you, my friend. So many questions But I know they won't bring you back. Now all I can do is try to be a better man. Everywhere you went, your love for God was evident. A loving husband and a father, but to me you were a friend. Until we meet again, I will remember how you lived. Prayed as the sun went up and as the sun went down, and loved with all your heart. I can't comprehend it, but for now I'll miss you, my friend. And as years go by and my race nears to the end, I'll know that you were cheering me on. My brother, this was far from the end, so I'll sing. Until we meet again, I will remember how you lived. Great as the sun went up and as the sun went down, and loved with all your heart. I can't comprehend it, but for now I'll miss you, my friend. But for now I'll miss you, my friend.
You know, the question again that I had, obviously, is why Luke passed, but the bigger question is just, what am I going to do? And just remember that heroes, they inspire courage, and to be able to let our lives live courageously and honorably to God. And as we mourn, and it's right to grieve, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve, but we grieve in hope. And I just wanted to have a time, too, to be able to honor, because there are people, like I said, I have a Luke, Samuel has a Chad, you have somebody that maybe you're thinking of today, but let that minister to you. There is a meeting again. There is coming a time when you're going to be able to enjoy. Well, Father, we thank you so much for just the ministry of your Spirit and just for the encouragement and the comfort of your Spirit that we have. That we can honor, Lord, those who are whom honor is due. Jesus, first and foremost, we honor you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that we're here today for one reason, because you loved us and you gave yourself for us. You were in Gethsemane. You had the choice. You did not call on the legions of angels to get out of there. You chose to go through it. You asked the Father three times if there was any other way. There was no other way. Thank you for doing that for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the precious people in our lives that we've been able to see as examples. We thank you for the amazing sermons that have been preached in our lives, Lord, through those precious people, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We give honor to them to whom honor is due today. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I honor you. You've done something wonderful for me. I will never forget it. You loved me. You died for me so I could become a child of God. That's who I am today. Lord Jesus, today is my day. I call upon your name. I believe you died on the cross for everything I did wrong. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your mercy. I declare you're the Lord of my life, and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, we just want to say welcome to the family of God. It's all you can do. Call upon his name. There's no sacrifice for sin you can do. All you can do is receive it because he loved you, gave himself for you. If that is you, let me know. Let somebody maybe you know that you, loves you know and make that declaration of faith. When we declare him, he declares us. Praise God. And so just, again, I'm here. I'm available too if you want to talk, chat, to minister after the service as well. So praise God.